Good morning. Please be seated. My name is Burl Gorey, and I will be the elder on duty today. If you have any questions, ask Ron. He's up there in the speakers. He'll help you out. I want to mention to you, there's not too many announcements, which is strange for me not to have a lot of announcements. I invite you downstairs for refreshments after the service, and we have a nice little get-together and chat, and that would be good. Everything else is pretty much in the bulletin as you read it, but I would like to welcome Reverend Mo Anderson back to visit us, and many of you know her well, and we welcome you. Do you have anything to add to the announcement?
So, I think we do want to acknowledge we have so much happiness in this one corner of the church. Thomas and Andrew are here with the proud Grandma Jane Wiseman and her son and wife Christina. And please do let them fuss and make noise. Unlike Donald Trump, I won't change my mind. And there's lots of people that are willing to bounce them around. If you're so welcome. There are many dark places, but none where God's love doesn't shine. There are many terrifying places, but none where Christ is not present. There are many dark corners in the world, but we proclaim the love of Jesus and pray for all of them. Let us enter into a moment of silence as we prepare for worship and light the Christ candle.
Our first hymn this morning will be Joyful, Joyful, We Adore You, hymn number 410.
Come to be lifted up, that the cracks in your cup be healed, come to be filled up, that your soul be freed from the darkness. Come to be reminded, let your minds embrace your story, that this place be a time of healing and friendship, that this time be a time of renewal, that this day be the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. O God, who calls us continually back and who calls us into deeper and newer relationship, we come before you this morning as people who both praise and worship you and sometimes have failed to remember you. We are grateful that at your table we have a place of honor. We are thankful to be your children. Forgive us when we are more like a petulant child. Forgive us when we forget we are children of the King, and instead of embracing our royal heritage, embrace things of no value. As we come to worship, may we be aware of the places where our energy is seeping away. May we remember the times that you have brought us through the desert, and may we trust that the desert is where you reside, lead, and teach us hope. We pray these things even as you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our children's hymn is number 449, Lord, Listen to Your Children Pray. I think we'll sing it twice before as the children come down, and then once after we have finished our time with them. And girls, I hope you're having a good summer. I haven't seen you guys in a while. Looks like you've shot up quite a bit. I have two cups here, and I have a question for you. Which one do you think will hold more? Which one? The blue one? You want for blue? Do you think they might hold about the same? Do they look about the same size? Maybe. What do you guys think? The blue? The blue? Okay. Well, could I get a volunteer? You want to hold that there? Okay. I'm going to pour some water in it. Let's just see. Can you hold it up there? That holds quite a bit of water, doesn't it? Let's see. If you pour that in here, what happens? Oh, what's happening? It's leaking. So which one held more? The blue one did, didn't it? Why did it hold more?
There's a hole in it.
There's a hole in which cup?
The red one.
The red one. Yeah. So what happens when you pour water into the red one?
It falls out.
That's right. Now, if you look at the blue one, what does the blue one got as well? It's got a hole, but where is it? At the top. So you were right. It could hold more water because its hole is where? It's at the top instead of at the bottom, right? Well, you know, there's different places in the Bible that talk about something called a cistern. And you probably have not seen one of these, or maybe you have at the cottages. A few cottages have them, a few homes out in the country. But a cistern is something that goes underneath a place where people live, and it holds water. But it's built into the rock, and if the rocks leak, or there's a leak somewhere in the rock, the same thing happens. And the Bible uses that as an illustration of how it's important that we repair the leaks. If you wanted to use this cup, what would you have to do? You might use some glue to glue it back together, perhaps a piece of tape.
Throw it out?
It's a throw-out generation, right? Well, yeah, if you didn't want to get too close, especially if it was grape juice. Yeah, you might drink really fast out of it before it all leaks out. Yeah, call Fixing Felix. Who's Fixing Felix? They got to get this number. Yeah, so, and that's kind of the way it is with our relationship with God, too. It's really important that we are aware when we think of our relationship with God and keep connected to God through prayer and think, what would God want me doing with my time and with my energy? Because if I pour my time and energy into something that's leaking, it's kind of a bit of a waste of time, isn't it? And sometimes there's things that we do that we enjoy, but sometimes there's things that we do that aren't maybe good uses of time. And that's what the Bible says about cisterns is, you know, we want to make sure there's no leaks in our cisterns because that lets things that are important, and water is very important. If you don't have enough water, you get really sick. Then it's not a very good thing. So I hope you'll remember that, especially as you're going back to school, because we go back to school, we have to use our time and make sure we get our homework done, and we have to make sure that we spend time with our friends and with our family, and maybe we have to get outside instead of sitting in front of the TV, we have to get outside and do some exercise and get out in the fresh air. There's lots of good things that we can use our time and our energy for. And most important, we want to make sure we use our time and our energy to nurture our relationship with God. How about we say a prayer? And everybody can say a prayer after me. How's that? Okay? Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Help me to always use my time in a way that honors you. Amen. Have a good time in your Sunday school. Let's sing that verse one more time.
Our responsive psalm this morning is Psalm 112, found in the Red Psalters. We're doing it a little bit different this morning, and some of you will be familiar with it, where there's an R during the printing there. We are going to be singing the refrain. Now, there is a refrain on the left-hand page there, but we're not doing that one. We have to flip back to refrain one. Rejoice, O pure in heart, rejoice, give thanks, and sing. So wherever there's an R, we will be singing that refrain. And we'll start off with that one. And then the congregation will come in with Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who greatly delight in God's commandments. With those who deal generously and lend, who conduct their affairs with justice, for the righteous will never be moved, they will be remembered forever. They have distributed freely. They have given to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn is exalted in honor.
For those of you that are following along, I'm actually going to work backwards through the readings. I'm going to start with Luke chapter 14, verses 7 through 14, then go to Hebrews and then Jeremiah. That's because I've chosen Jeremiah as the focus for my sermon, so I want it the freshest in your mind. So Luke chapter 14, verses 7 through 14. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then in disgrace you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. And turning to Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 through 16. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings, for it is well for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by regulations about food which have not benefited those who observe them. We have an altar from which those who officiate in the tent have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also suffered outside the city gate in order to sanctify the people by his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp and bear the abuse he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. And turning to Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 4 through 18. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what wrong did your ancestors find in me that they went far away from me and went after worthless things and became worthless themselves? They did not say, where is the Lord who brought us up from the land of Egypt, who led us in the wilderness in a land of deserts and pits, in a land of drought and deep darkness, in a land that no one passes through, where no one lives. I brought you into a plentiful land to eat its fruit and its good things. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priests did not say, where is the Lord? Those who handled the law did not know me. The rulers transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and went after things that do not profit. Therefore, once more I accuse you, says the Lord, and I accuse your children's children. Cross to the coast of Cyprus and look. Send to Gadar and examine with care. See if there has been ever such a thing. Has a nation changed its God, even though there are no gods? But my people have changed their glory for something that does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked. Be utterly desolate, says the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and dug out cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can hold no water. Let us join together and sing number 534, All Who Hunger, Gather Gladly. Well, I must be getting old because the romantic lyrics on the radio don't seem that romantic to me anymore. There was one playing the other day and the words were, maybe you don't have to rush, you can leave a toothbrush at my place. And I'm thinking, don't be leaving your toothbrush on my bathroom counter and your socks all over the floor and clean up after yourself, like if you're over. Or this one, it was by Team Pop Gods congratulating themselves for loving you despite your perfect manifesting your imperfection, and the song goes, you never want to know how much you weigh, you still have to squeeze into your jeans, but you're perfect to me. I guess I'm getting to that age where I'm happy to still be squeezing into my jeans. That might be a good thing, I don't know. But one of the things about growing older is that you notice that there are numerous lost arts. The lost art of romance. Perhaps music isn't what you would consider music anymore. What passes as food would probably shock our grandmothers, because cooking and canning seem to be lost arts these days. And, you know, Jeremiah was living in a time and speaking to a generation that had lost God, and perhaps lost the art of being aware of God, or of even recognizing that somehow the relationship wasn't there, and somehow God had gotten lost in the shuffle of life. And I wonder if we're kind of living in a similar time. Have we traded in God for something else? Do we even recognize God? Do we even recognize that God is absent, replaced, or even just plain out forgotten in our culture? And the image that Jeremiah gives us is one of water. And here in Canada, we live so close to water and have so much fresh water that it's hard to preach on passages that talk about water in the Bible because we have so much of it on our doorstep. In fact, I kind of think it's funny sometimes when people talk about emergency community planning, like what happens if the water doesn't come through our taps? And I'm thinking, we take a bucket and we go down to the lake and we get a bucket of water and put it through a coffee filter and throw a little bleach in it. That's what we used to do. Some of you might even remember doing that. It's right there. And yet, if it doesn't come through the taps, we forget that it's right there. It is a precious resource, though. And we are so abundantly blessed with water in our country that we simply take it for granted, so preaching on it is really hard. Because Jeremiah was speaking to a group of people that were living in a relatively safe place, at least for the moment. They had left the slavery of Egypt behind. They were living in a relatively fertile land that had been producing crops. They were living in what was considered the promised land, the land of milk and honey. And I noticed when I toured through Israel and through that part of the world, there really is a line there where the desert stops and the Jordan River is there. And because the Jordan River is there, it all of a sudden it becomes lush and full of fruit, trees and fields and birds, and it comes to life. And you look at one side and it's absolute desert, and the other side is this land of milk and honey. But perhaps this passage can speak to us today because it was during a time of peace and abundance that God's people began trading in their God for a new God. And which this passage said is actually no God, an illusion. Perhaps we are still in that place today. And the image that Jeremiah gives us of a cracked cistern is one that is very, I think, profound if we kind of stop for a few minutes to think about what cisterns were. Cisterns were important in the life of Israel, a dry and parched land, especially in the summer. It meant that the gathering, the storing, and the conservation of water was critical to the survival and the life of Israel. A series of cisterns built into the limestones and rock beneath the surfaces provided important access to water. Some of them were just private cisterns underneath a house with only a few hundred gallons, and others of them were in the middle of the city and held millions of gallons of water, one of them underneath the Garden of Gethsemane. There was also a city that was built in the desert called Masada, and it was built on the top of a large hill out in the Judean desert, initially as both a retreat and fortress for Herod the Great. And it was taken over by Jewish rebels and occupied, but was a continual embarrassment to Rome as these rebels would go out to create trouble and then return to this very fortified city way up on top of the desert. And you could see out for miles and miles if anyone was coming and pick them off before they had any chance to harm you. Well, Rome got tired of that one day and built a wall around the base of that city and blocked it off and brought in 15,000 soldiers. There was 980 people up at the top of that fortress, brought in 15,000 soldiers and decided they would build a ramp up so that they could take over the city. And of course, the problem still remains that once you got out behind that wall, people could pick you off very easily. So they took the Jewish slaves and forced them to build the ramp, and their Jewish brothers and sisters at the top did not kill them to protect themselves. And that went on for over a year, and they finally breached the walls. But during that entire year, despite being cut off from all sources of food and water, the cisterns sustained the growth of the crops and the needs of water for those people. And it was even written in the history books that they hung out dripping wet laundry on the lines to dry, something you wouldn't do if you were afraid of running out of water. But a properly built cistern, even in a desert, would help people to grow and survive. Well, cisterns could also be used for storage if they were empty. And the only survivors of Masada actually hid in those large cisterns. Scholars believe that Joseph, stripped of his coat from his brothers, was actually deposited into a cistern before being sold as a slave. They would also double as cold, murky prisons. And ironically, if you keep reading in Jeremiah, when you reach chapter 38, for prophesying, he was thrown into a cistern, as was Paul in the New Testament for preaching the gospel. And sometimes we are in a cistern not because we have done anything wrong, but because we have done something right. Sometimes we are in darkness because imprisoned in darkness does not mean that we are forgotten by God, but rather just waiting for the plan to unfold. You see, Joseph saved an entire nation. Jeremiah turned a whole generation back towards God, and Paul started out the Christian church. And all of them spent time in a dark cistern underneath the surface of the earth with the cover pulled over. A broken cistern, however, meant that water could seep out. And water was the source of life, of growth, and of health. And I know many of you remember in May in 2000 when the town of Walkerton, with a population of 5,000, had 23 people fell ill and 7 die from E. coli poisoning after the water system failed. And many more needed kidney replacements and ongoing medical care for years and decades and are still suffering the effects of that. In 2014, Flint, Michigan switched their water source, and the resulting damage to the pipe caused lead and other contaminants to leach into the water supply. And a whole town is still in a state of emergency. A water system supply that is broken is a huge threat. And Flint, Michigan is racing back towards the lake with the pipes, hoping to beat winter to get water into their system. Jeremiah was warning his people that if cisterns don't hold water, they are not only useless, but become prisons. We live in a culture that builds many broken cisterns. Most of them are prisons for our fears and hurts and anxieties. We're building walls between us and people. We're building fear. We live on fear. We live in a culture where we shut down a whole transit system if somebody leaves a box somewhere. And that's necessary, but it talks about how fear-based our culture is. God's people had forgotten God. God had brought his people on a horrible journey, actually. Leaving Egypt behind was hard. Leaving any abusive relationship behind is hard.
Listen to the words of Jeremiah explaining, God who brought us up from the land of Egypt, who led us in the wilderness, in a land of deserts and pits, in a land of drought and deep darkness, in a land that no one passes through, where no one lives. That's what's recorded in Jeremiah. See, there is no safe place. There are only places where God walks with us. We all have moments where we look back and say, I can't believe that I survived that time in my life. Whether it was an illness, a breakup of a relationship, incredibly difficult work, financial strain, emotional breakdown, difficult times in families, existential angst, or more often than not, it's all those things combined together. Make no mistake, God doesn't just lead you in the wilderness, God leads you into the wilderness. I'm going to say that again. God doesn't just lead you once you're in the wilderness, sometimes God leads you right into the wilderness. God leads us into places of darkness and drought. God leads us into lands where no one passes through except we get through. God leads us where no one lives and yet we survive. Sometimes the cistern of faith is drained away when we allow our culture to recreate God as the God that only leads us out, because God is the God that also leads us in. This is perhaps one of the greatest tragedies of faith today. I watch radio programming for Christian faith. I watch TV programming for Christian faith. And the only stories that are there are the ones where everybody has a happy ending. And I want to say, can you put in a few people who are struggling and are saying, I'm not quite sure where God is right now in my life. God said, I brought you into a plentiful land to eat its fruit and good things. Jeremiah was the expression of God's disappointment, his anger, his frustration, his bewilderment, but also the desire to be in new and deeper relationship with his people. Sometimes when there is frustration and distance in a relationship, it is really the deeper expression of a desire for a deeper relationship. Praise God that Jesus came to repair all the cracks in the cistern. Whatever is seeping away at our energy, whatever is draining for us, may God's healing presence be with each one of us today. When that cistern isn't holding life-giving water but has become our prison and our hiding place, my prayer for you today is that you would know that Jesus is with you. If you are running dry, may you drink from the fountain of living water. And may you know an abundance of love and joy, even as you traverse the desert. Amen. There are many weeks when I see families being asked if they wish to consider donation for their loved ones, organ donation. It's an agonizing decision in the midst of devastation. And yet, without being asked, Jesus gave up himself to save us. His body was our sacrifice. His agony was life-giving for us. As we make our offering, let us remember the sacrifice made for each one of us. Gracious God, we give thanks for that which we can bring into your house to honor you. We ask that we might use it to repair the cisterns in this world that are broken, that they might hold the living water of your hope. We ask that you might grant to each person in this room a vision of how this money could be used to transform the good news of Jesus Christ for all the world to hear. We ask that you would bless it and that it would be used for your glory. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, this morning I thought we would have a prayer time where sometimes we, in some traditions, when the minister says, "Lord, in your mercy," the congregation responds with, "Hear our prayer." But I'm going to sing, "Lord, in your mercy," and you will respond with, "Hear our prayer." So we'll try that. "Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer." Let us pray. Loving God, in Jesus Christ, you teach us to pray and to present our petitions to you in his name. Guide us by your Holy Spirit that our prayers for others may serve your will and show your steadfast love for all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, you have called together a people to be the Church of Jesus Christ. May your people be one in faith and discipleship, breaking bread together and telling good news, so that the world may believe you are love. Turn to your ways and live in the light of your truth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, you made all things and called them good. May your planet, Earth, be held in reverence by all its people. May its resources be used wisely, and its fragile balance between life and death be respected. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Eternal ruler, in your mighty realm, the nations fall and rise. Hear our prayers for those who govern, that they may learn wisdom and truth, establish justice and mercy, and seek the ways of peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Lord, we lift up to you those in this congregation, those that are in our hearts. We thank you for the sounds of young children. We ask that you would bless them in our presence. We thank you for those that are away and enjoying holidays. We pray for those that are struggling in some way, for those that are not here this morning, for those that are sick and waiting for test results, for those that are in hospital, for those that are feeling sorrow and grieving. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 641, "One More Step Along the Road I Go." Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to him be glory forever and ever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and give you peace, and give you peace.